Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on the Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
10:05 on the Fan, and a very good Wednesday morning to the midday show. Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666. Is the phone number here at the 1 o'clock CMB comes your way. Dolph Kramer and the Renaissance man, Brian Riscona, on the other side of the glass. And, of course, we're live and in living color from the Black Bear Studios, Black Bear Deli Meats and Cheeses. You know we are only at ShopRite. So my partner's basketball team is like a juggernaut.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat the Lakers last night. They beat the LeBrons last night Barclays Center that seemed like it was Staples last night. I mean, you got to be. I mean, they are, and right now, think about this: six in a row. They're only 27 wins away from matching the 72 Lakers 33 in a row.
Count that as on, baby. Hey, I love the fact that you're locked in Nets Lakers last night.
I was watching for a couple reasons. I had and I thank you again for helping me out with that. My daughter and my son-in-law went to the game. He's a big Laker fan. She is because he is. You know how that works.
Sure.
So. He was at the game. He hasn't been to a Laker game in a long time. So I appreciate that. So that's why, for that reason too, I was watching the game. But it was a good game, entertaining game. And I'll tell you right now, and you've mentioned this too, and this has nothing to do with the game, but Ian Eagle, Sarah Kustak, and now you add Richard Jefferson. That is a stellar broadcast.
Oh, they're a hell of a crew.
I mean, they are really good.
RJ is hilarious. Now, I didn't hear him last night, but I've already heard stories about his performance.
The Kobe
last
Bryant
night.
Story was off the charts.
Yeah.
If you didn't see the game, and I know that because Mike Bisseglia and Billy here are also Net fans.
We're the Net crew.
Like, they're not even on it. Like, their feet aren't even on the ground today. So Jefferson's talking about, some stories, talking about Kobe Bryant, and they're playing the Lakers, and Kobe, there's a foul. And I guess the officials on the floor call it that it was not a shooting foul, that he was in the act of passing the ball. So Kobe goes up to the official. He says, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "When do I ever pass the ball?" And they called it a shooting foul.
You know what that made me think?
I thought that was
of
one of the best stories I ever heard.
When you told me that story, I started to think about all the other amazing stories that we'll probably never hear.
Oh, God,
about
yes.
Things that players
yes.
say to
yep,
officials
yep, yep.
or to each other.
Yep.
And I'm not complaining about this. I'm just making an observation. We know that star players get calls in this league. LeBron James is on a pace this season, and it continued last night in Brooklyn, where they will call nothing on him. Nothing. He was not called for one personal foul last night. He's been called on average for 1.4 fouls per game.
Is that surprising?
How is that? Surprise is, I don't know if I'm surprised.
Did Michael Jordan never get called for a foul?
But is that even human? Well, like, how is that even possible?
Well, you know how that works.
They call so much in this league.
Come on, Wilt never fouled out of a game. I mean, you know how that works.
I've seen LeBron James foul out of a game in Brooklyn. Like, I've actually seen that happen.
Right.
A couple of years ago against Miami, the year where the Nets swept them all four games and then lost to them in five in the playoffs. They played an overtime game against them, and I actually saw LeBron James foul out. Nowadays, he doesn't get called for anything.
Yeah, well.
But it was a great win. And what was really cool is that D'Angelo Russell, who has played better since LeVert went down, has not played consistently down the stretch of games. We've seen Kenny Atkinson not trust him late in games. Last night in Brooklyn, he not only trusted D'Angelo Russell, he hit the biggest shot of the game that really gave you the comfort, and it's very rare times you have any comfort as a Net fan, considering all the games they've blown this year, when he hit the three to put him up by six with about 18 seconds to go. But he gave him those big minutes down the stretch, and I think he rewarded them. And I got to give Jared Dudley credit.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was very good.
I mean, Jared Dudley got to the basket numerous times. He hit that long two they initially called a three. They turned it into a two. And more than that, the Nets played defense last night. You know, during this winning streak, they haven't played great defense. They've just scored an ungodly amount of points. They're shooting 55% from the field. Last night, Kuritz forced a big turnover on Stevenson. Joe Harris with active hands.
How about the Jared Allen block of LeBron?
Yeah.
How about that?
Look, that's...
That was pretty good, bro. Come on, that's good. It don't happen a lot.
Here's the bottom line. It's a very overrated moment. Now, I'm going to embrace
overrated.
It. It's overrated.
He also missed another one where I thought Allen actually was the reason why. I think he influenced it a little bit.
Look, it's really cool. It's one of those flash dash things that'll be all over SportsCenter. It was early in the game.
It was very early.
And Jared Allen did not play at all in the fourth quarter because Atkinson decided to match up with the Lakers and going small, which worked. So I give Kenny credit. I give Kenny credit that he had the attitude last night of, we got to win this basketball game. So I'm playing Russell.
Right,
I'm playing Dinwiddie. Right. I'm not worried about tomorrow night in Chicago. You worry about Chicago when you get to Chicago. And now I'm worried about Chicago.
Well,
and they took advantage of it, and they won a game against a good team, and somehow they've won six in a row after not only having an eight-game losing streak, but an eight-game losing streak, Joe, in which they were blowing every game in more horrendous fashion than the previous.
And they don't have LeVert. And you look at some of the games that they've won, they've beaten quality teams. I mean, they beat the Raptors, they beat Philly on the road, they beat the Lakers now last night. And watching a game last night, you know, you get a feel for the game as you're watching it. You know, and I really thought all night, you just got the feeling that the Nets were not losing this game.
Really?
What gave you
that feeling?
There was a sense about the way they were playing. I can't explain it, but just you just got that feeling last night that, you know what, I know LeBron's on the other side, and, you know, you would think that, you know, the Lakers are going to make that run, they're going to make that run. And they did eventually cut it to two or three, whatever it was at the end.
Yeah,
you know,
they did.
The end.
They sure did.
But you just got the feeling it was the Nets' night. And sometimes, well, and it, you know, it turned out to be that, to be honest.
I didn't think it at the time, so it's a lot easier for me to say that this
it's
morning.
It's easier, too, when you're not a fan of the team.
No, absolutely.
You know, you look at it a little differently.
I am slowly but surely gaining confidence and trust in this team in that the eight-game losing streak may have actually been a good thing.
Yeah, well.
That those brutal losses, because, Joe, some of these losses, the Memphis one jumps out at me. You have a 7-point lead with 30 seconds to go.
Yeah, you can't lose that game.
And Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, who's been awesome since, by the way.
No, he's been terrific.
Commits a foul on Jackson, and they get a 4-point play. Like, they have found some of the worst ways to lose. And in a way, it's like they've learned from it. And they're learning how to close teams out, and not just teams, but good teams.
Right,
the
right.
Raptors is how this whole thing started a week and a half ago in Brooklyn.
Yep.
And they got a little lucky. Van Fleet missed an open three. Kawhi missed a good look. But, hey, luck. Who cares? It's a part of it.
It definitely is.
But they are starting to look like a team that's learning how to win.
Right, and getting confidence that they, you know, that they're going to win certain games. And it's starting to get maybe a little feel at home, I think, a little bit, too.
Yep.
You know, you could just see watching this team that there's a little different feel to the team right now.
Well,
like I said, you don't even have LeVert on a team.
No, their best player. I mean,
they're doing
this without their best player. I think early on, it's becoming obvious that Caris LeVert was becoming their best player. Now their best players are Spencer Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell.
Yep.
But I think, and I said this to you yesterday, I stand by it, tonight's going to be fascinating. They're facing a bad team on the road. They've had a lot of issues on back-to-backs until they beat the Knicks a week and a half ago. And good teams don't take their foot off the pedal. And I don't know if they're a good team yet. I can't say they're a good team.
No, we don't know that yet. You know,
they got a lot to prove.
They got a lot to prove.
Tonight, in a way, goes a long way to proving that. Because the Bulls have had big-time issues. They all hate their new head coach, it appears, in Jim Boylan. They have talent on that team. They got Lauri Markkanen back and healthy. They've got talent. But if you're a good team, if you're going to compete for a playoff spot, you go to Chicago and you win tonight. We'll see if they can do it.
Yeah, well, last time they had a back-to-back, they won them.
So that was the first time.
I know, first time in a thousand years, right?
Yeah.
When Jason Kidd was playing.
It felt that way.
Right.
But it was a cool night. It's just, it's infuriating when you have to watch fans of another team come into your building. But in a way, it brings out the best of the fans of your team. Because I always think this, when it's like when the Mets play the Yankees. When the Yankee fans come to Citi Field, the Met fans are forced to get louder, which just naturally creates a better atmosphere. And that's what happens. You know, Net fans, there are Net fans. There may not be a lot of them, but there are Net fans. And sometimes they tend to be quiet. Last night, they're not going to be quiet. When every other person in the arena is wearing a LeBron James jersey and a handful of Kobe jerseys and some Lonzo Ball jerseys, And by the way, what an ugly shot he has, even though it was going down last night.
He was red hot, especially early in the game. He didn't do much after that, but early in the game, he was on fire.
You're right. He disappeared, but he hit a couple of big threes late. That actually made it close, including one where he got a second chance and put it right back up. But he's got that weird Rashard Lewisian kind of shot that he's got.
Yep.
But I think that when there are fans of another team in your building, it almost forces you to get louder. And it was a great atmosphere last night. And it was fun. And you know what? For Knicks fans, for Nets fans, we have not had a lot of fun in a very long time in this town with basketball. And I don't know where this is going. I don't know if this is a playoff team or if they're even going to be in a playoff race. But six-game winning streak? Longest active winning streak in the NBA?
That is pretty good.
Sign me up, baby!
There you go. You are jacked up. After Chicago, what do they got after that?
They come back for Indiana.
Right. Tough game.
Their winning streak ends, and then they play Phoenix at home on Sunday, which is a very winnable game.
It is. Phoenix is better, though. Phoenix has got some players.
Yes, they do have talent.
They do have some players.
And LeBron's one of the greatest of all time. It just seems like LeBron James can't go more than a week or two without dreaming about who his next teammate's going to be.
He's looking at Melo now, right?
Well, forget Melo, because, yes, he was asked about Melo.
Right, and he
seemed more open to it yesterday than he had been a few weeks earlier. But even this idea of wanting to play with Anthony Davis, which I know would drive you nuts.
Is that now he wants to play with Anthony Davis? I didn't hear that.
Would that not drive you nuts if the Pelicans traded Anthony Davis to the Lakers?
I mean, come on.
Do we need that?
Are they forced to trade him to the Lakers? I mean, I don't understand.
They're not forced to do anything.
Right.
Like, Anthony Davis
wants to play with Anthony Davis.
Who wouldn't want to play with Anthony Davis?
I understand that, but I mean, you know, come on.
Well, you know what's happening? LeBron is realizing that Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, obviously, they don't want to play with him. So this idea that these guys in free agency are going to L.A. to play with LeBron, it's not happening. And I think what LeBron needs to focus on is developing the guys around him because he's got Kyle Kuzma.
Awesome. I was just going to say that. Kuzma really looks good.
Tremendous.
For a guy that was, the 27th pick in the first round?
My pick.
Is that what you had your
that
pick?
That was the Russell trade.
Oh, wow. He's a good player, Kuzma.
The D'Angelo Russell trade has essentially turned into Kyle Kuzma for D'Angelo Russell. And to be determined on how that works out.
We'll see.
But advantage
Kuzma,
Lakers.
Kuzma, yes, I would agree. Kuzma looks like the second best player on their team right now.
Yeah, he's outstanding.
Yep.
I think Lonzo Ball is going to be a really good player in this league.
Yeah, I think so too.
His defense is outstanding. He's long. His shot's ugly, but as we saw last night, it can go down. Yeah. I'm not sure if Brandon Ingram fits on that team. He didn't play last night. He's banged up, but they've got talent on that team.
I'll tell you one thing they got an issue with. They can't make foul shots, the Lakers.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. How many? I mean, they were brutal from the foul line.
They missed, I think, 10 or 11 free throws.
Easily.
Yeah.
No, easily that many. I didn't see what the final number was, but they missed a ton of free throws last night.
But LeBron knew when he went to L.A. that this was a part of the deal. He was going to a really young team that is, they have no shot as strong, but I'll say it.
They're a playoff team. They're going to make the playoffs.
Oh, no, of course. They're definitely a playoff.
And probably win a round. Probably.
Yeah, but they're not getting to the NBA Finals.
No, I don't see
they're not
see
beating
no, no.
the Warriors.
No.
And I think LeBron should have known that when he went over there. And if now all of a sudden he's pining for all these superstars, what the heck did you think was going to happen when you went there?
Well, you shouldn't have went to the Lakers then.
Yeah.
If you were looking to get back to the NBA Finals again, the Lakers wasn't the place to go.
No.
It was staying in the East. Right. Go to Philly, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what all these big free agents are going to do, but it's amazing how the NBA is the one sport where everybody talks about it years in advance.
Oh, my God.
Months in advance.
And what does Melo really have left? I mean, I guess if you put him in L.A. where he's strictly going to be, a shooter, spot-up shooter type guy, maybe he comes off the bench. I don't know what he would do, but
right now,
LeBron would help him, there's no doubt.
2 years ago, I said this about Melo, and nothing's changed in 2 years. I said he's got to decide if he can be Grant Hill late in his career, if he could be Tracy McGrady late in his career. Vince Carter is probably the greatest example.
Right.
Can he remove the ego of being the star player and become a valuable role player? It hasn't happened. And I'm not convinced that that's going to happen. Carmelo Anthony may just be a guy who just needs to walk away, and that's it. And he had a really solid NBA career.
Of course.
He's probably
made a ton of money.
Made a ton of money. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame, whether Boomer likes it or not, he is.
He's going to the Hall of Fame.
You factor in the Olympics, you factor the year in Syracuse.
You have to factor that all in.
It's
all there.
Basketball.
Yeah. No, he's a Hall of Fame
player. He's a Hall of Famer.
There's no doubt.
And maybe he doesn't want to do what Vince Carter's done. Vince Carter's on the Atlanta Hawks at 41.
Yeah, he loves playing.
Good for him.
It basically comes down to that. He loves playing, and he's he's obviously in tremendous shape.
Yeah. Good for him. But that Laker team, they're not winning anything this year.
No.
But they've got a lot of young pieces. You need to be patient. You can see the immaturity. I mean, they had a lot of unforced turnovers in this game, a lot of miscommunication in this game. And they're going to grow. They'll get better, but that's just not. I mean, right now, no one's beating the Warriors.
No.
It's the weight the NBA is right now.
No, I would agree. Nobody is.
But it was a very good night last night, that's for sure.
I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll talk to Michael Irvin a little bit later on. Today is Manny Machado Day. As the Yankees make their pitch to Manny, we'll get into that coming up, plus more fallout from Brody Van Wagenen from yesterday, and the Pro Bowl rosters were announced.
We actually got three Pro Bowlers.
Giants,
do you realize that the Jets, this is just shows you how ridiculous the Pro Bowl is. The Jets have more Pro Bowlers than the Patriots. How's that possible?
Well, here's how it's possible.
It's true.
And this is the moment where I stop taking the Pro Bowl serious. First of all, Van Der Esch isn't a Pro Bowler.
Okay? That's ridiculous. Also, I'll tell you, another guy that's not a Pro Bowl to me has to be on a Pro Bowl, and I know they only have three quarterbacks, is Russell Wilson. How's he not a Pro Bowl?
No, I agree. Leonard of Indianapolis. I mean, the whole thing's a joke, all right? The Pro Bowl's a joke. And when I learned it was a joke was in 2008. The 2008 New York Jets did not make the playoffs. They choked down the stretch.
No, that was the Brett Favre year.
They, I think, had more Pro Bowlers than any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
So the Pro Bowl, come on.
No.
So you ask, am I surprised? Are we surprised? How did the Jets? How did the Giants? Because it's the stupid Pro Bowl.
Yeah. The Giants had three. Both teams' kickers made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Rosas and Myers.
Well deserved.
Even in spite of him missing two extra points on Saturday.
Yeah, they ignored that.
He still
that.
Made it. But Roberts, you know, Andre Roberts deserved it. He had a very good year returning kicks. And, you know, obviously Jamal deserved it.
The Pro Bowl's an absolute joke.
But it's a joke.
I mean, when you look at some of the guys that missed out, it's tough to take it too
serious. Here's also the thing, too. Who really is watching? Who's watching the Pro Bowl? I don't care. Now they got it before the Super Bowl still. Who the hell is watching?
People watch it. It gets a better rating than the baseball All-Star game. Or at least it's close.
Yeah.
It's relatively close.
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, it's just not a...
You know who's watching?
It's not a football game.
Degenerate gamblers are watching.
Yeah, right, that's it. It's just not a football game.
No. But hey, it could still get people to watch.
I guess.
Even if it's not a football game.
Yep.
So we'll get to all that, plus your calls. Beningo and Roberts here in the midday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.